Well, I mentioned this last week, but a couple of weeks ago, Stephen talked about remembering God's goodness, and he talked about he phrased it as a spiritual discipline of remembering. That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, I shared with you the idea of considering the practice of being grateful in our lives. When we practice these things, both remembering and gratitude, when we practice these things, I think we cultivate within the soil of our lives the desire or readiness towards serving, of being a servant of others, of being generous, of doing what we're able to reach out to others in need with God's love and because of God's love to us. I ended last week with this slide. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And that so ties in with our remembering and with our lives of gratitude, with an attitude of gratitude. And then I wanted to share with you, too, there's a couple of other verses in regard to that idea of serving. Matthew 10:42, it says this, "And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded." Mark 9:41 says, "If anyone gives you even a cup of water," Jesus was saying, "because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded." And so today I'd like to just sort of talk about that idea of serving out of remembering and out of gratitude. And we'll call it this morning cups of cold water. Maybe you guessed that already by the first picture. But cups of cold water. I'll call it an old hymn, but it's called Cups of Cold Water. And the chorus goes something like this: "Cups of cold water given in Jesus' name. Cups of cold water, I think, are never given in vain," it says. "Someday in heaven, when we meet the Lord, each deed of kindness will see a rich reward." And so there's just that idea that cups of cold water in that song. And I was just reminded of that today and in this past week. The church today, God's work in the world continues to be in need of servants. Jesus showed by his words and actions the importance of being a servant, of developing a servant heart. You know, it's interesting in this, in the Matthew verse there, Jesus used the words cold water. Now, if you think about the area that Jesus was in, where did they get cold water? Like, he wasn't just writing it knowing it would come out of our taps. But Bible scholars have suggested that this is significant because someone had to make an extra trip to the well to get a cup of cold water in those days and in those places. I think it's the principle, the idea of that cold water idea, it's the principle that serving will cost you something. It will cost you some time. It will cost you some effort. It might even mean putting aside pride sometimes. It may mean serving by being slow to speak and simply listening. It could mean teaching that class that's challenging to get a teacher for. I remember, and we joke with fondness about a Sunday school class that we taught. Did we teach that one together? No, I just taught that one, right, and shared a teaching with it. I mostly with Patty, referred to it as the future convicts class. It was a class of young boys, and that was sort of, if you knew them, you would understand why I said that. Now, I don't know that any of them today are convicts. I don't believe that that's true at all. In fact, one of them lives here in Kitchener and is married and has a sweet daughter and is a wonderful, upstanding citizen. But in the church, serving one another is a powerful thing. It helps us deflect conflicts and arguing. It teaches our children how the church should be. And more than that, it catches the attention of the world. Jesus said, "They will know that you belong to me, not by how much you tell them, but they will know that you belong to me by the way that you love one another." Wow. A cup of cold water in Jesus' name is a powerful witness. It's powerful because it's not all that common. This week, I had the privilege of watching several folks serve through the food cupboard program here at Pioneer Park Church. This past week, we experienced a record high usage. I believe that's correct. If it's not, that's all right. It's close. We served 77 family units this week, 30 on Tuesday night and 47 on Thursday afternoon. I believe those numbers are fairly close. We were actually running out of food, and people weren't even filling out the forms anymore. We just gave out what we had. And I remember apologizing to one younger gentleman that we didn't have much left, and he said genuinely, "Oh no, it's more than enough. I know what was in his bag, and it wasn't more than enough." But he was expressing his gratitude. He was expressing his gratitude for the cup of cold water. Pioneer Park Church is known in this community for being generous, for being an asset and caring about the people in this community. And that description comes from the mouth of a non-church person who's in a position of responsibility in this community. I know that the ESL program has also been a tremendous blessing in this community and beyond. And we're able to provide that opportunity because you give and because you serve. Those are just two of the ways that I mentioned this morning in which we give cups of cold water. I know, represented here this morning, there are many other ways. Now, some of those folks are doing it right now downstairs as they teach the Sunday school class. Some of you do it outside the context of the church itself, and you're involved in different ways in your community, giving cups of cold water. In Matthew chapter 25 in the New Testament, Jesus is in this chapter talking about, he's talking about a future time of judgment in the one section. And he's talking about a future time of judgment where he proclaims a blessing upon those who served in his name. And he says this, that there will be a time coming where he says in that judgment time, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came to me, sick and you visited me." And the people he's talking to, you can read it there in Matthew chapter 5, the people he's talking to then say, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And Jesus replies to them and he says, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these brothers, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." That's incredible. It really is. It kind of should change our perspective on serving and just what that means. I mean, it's about serving, what he was talking about. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? I mean, he served with all he had. That's what he was trying to teach the disciples and by extension, us today. And in all of that, it's important that we not underestimate the importance of small acts of service. You know, occasionally, I don't know if it's true to say we all wonder, but maybe occasionally or at some point in our life, maybe it would be okay to say we all wonder if our efforts are making a difference. And I think it's easy, sometimes maybe it's easy to become discouraged thinking that our acts of kindness or service are insignificant. In fact, many people suffer from depression in part because they don't get a sense of significance from their lives. Because we have a need to know that what we're doing counts for something. In fact, in the Old Testament, the Israelites faced a similar problem when they returned from a Babylonian captivity and began to rebuild Jerusalem, and they began to become despondent even in that rebuilding. They were discouraged because their numbers were small and their efforts seemed so little compared with the accomplishments of their great ancestors. And when they started to rebuild the temple, they could only see how puny their contributions were, and they stopped working. Well, there's a good end to that story, but at that point, they were discouraged and they stopped working. That was a situation in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul once wrote to the Galatian church, he wrote this, he said, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good, At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. You see, God can do a lot with a little, because a little is a lot with God. God can do a lot with a little, because a little is a lot with God. I don't know if you remember the story in the New Testament where we read Jesus fed over 5,000 people with just five small loaves of bread and two small fish. Little can become a lot when we put it in Jesus' hands. And here are some things to consider this morning about this kind of serving. First of all, faith gives meaning to small acts of service. Trust in God means that we believe God can accomplish everything He wants through our lives, no matter how insignificant it might appear to us or to others. Many of us may not see the greater things that God's been working out through our small acts of love until we get to heaven. Yet He is able to take the seeds of small acts of love and faith and integrity and multiply them significantly. You see, faith helps us to see how God can use small acts to accomplish much for His purposes. Don't ever underestimate the power of a little act of faith to move away obstacles to progress. Well, secondly, I suggest that faithfulness in small things can lead to greater things. Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. You see, people who aren't trustworthy in showing love and kindness and service and little opportunities won't be given greater opportunities or responsibilities in the future. Whoever serves God and does good with the little time and talent and treasure they have can be trusted with greater things. But the person who hides their talent or resources or ability to serve will never improve or grow. I mean, how could we ever expect God to enrich us with more if we don't serve Him with what He's already given us? But thirdly, great things come from small beginnings. Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. So plant seeds of kindness. Plant seeds of truth and love wherever you are. Give people hope that their lives can get better in the Lord, and it will change their outlook on a whole range of issues. Allow the Lord to use your seeds of service to expand His kingdom and righteousness in quality and quantity ways. Because God's work of grace, the work of grace, I should say, is it seems to always be small in the beginning, but it becomes great in the end. The seeds of the gospel, the seeds of servanthood may appear to be insignificant sometimes, but will bring a harvest. They will make a difference. And sometimes it's tough. And we read the psalmist wrote, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Well, next, don't underestimate any individual. You see, Jesus took and He still takes those who may seem insignificant, maybe even what we'd call weak or odd, and He uses them in great ways. Paul wrote this in the New Testament. He wrote, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. You see, the Lord doesn't see people. The Lord doesn't see as we see. He's a better judge than we are of who will willingly best serve His purposes. There was a guy back some time ago, his name was Hudson Taylor, and he had a call to China. And so this guy, Hudson Taylor, was once asked, it's been recorded, apparently, this conversation, he was once asked, why do you think God chose you to start China Inland Mission? And Hudson Taylor was reported to have said, God picked out somebody who was so weak that apart from him, I knew I could do nothing. God picked somebody so weak that apart from him, I knew I could do nothing. It was all about God. Bible says that God despises pride, actually. The Bible says that God despises the proud but gives grace to the humble of heart. He uses people who realize that apart from his grace, they are inadequate. And so never overlook any person who might be used of God for his greater purposes. Jesus pointed out one time a guy named Zacchaeus. I don't know if you know that story or not, but he was a guy noted for his small stature and harsh ways. And he said to him, he said, salvation has come to this home today. For this man, there was some things going on in Zacchaeus' heart. Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus uses anyone who realizes they need him. Well, then God also multiplies our giving and blesses the motives. Jesus was in the temple and people were bringing their offerings. When a widow lady came by and she came to the offering box that was there, whatever it was, and she dropped in two coins that we're told might not have even been worth what we would call a penny. And Jesus said to his disciples as she went by and she did that, other people had come and dropped in, you know, bags of money or poured half their bag of money in. And Jesus said to his disciples, he says, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they've given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Never underestimate how the Lord will multiply every gift you give for the furthering of his kingdom. Well, not only should we not overlook individuals, but we shouldn't either overlook any people group. And Jesus, a Jew, went to one Samaritan woman. Jews and Samaritans hated each other, and they really hated each other. But here is Jesus, a Jew, speaking with a Samaritan woman in the village of Sychar, and he shared God's love with her. And Jesus said to her, If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. It's kind of a cool interaction that we read of there. And later the woman was used of God to tell everyone in her village about Jesus. And God continues to use that little encounter to impact the world in showing others how to share the gospel across cultures. Some estimates are that there are still 6,000 There are all kinds of estimates around, but some estimates are that there are still 6,000 people groups in the world to be reached with the gospel of Jesus. Don't discount any group of people. Consider then how God views and uses a cup of cold water effort. That is, consider how God multiplies, or how God, I didn't change it there, how God views and uses a cup of cold water effort. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. That should change how we look at what we do. God takes that one visit, that one cup of cold water, that one meal, and he uses it. He can even use it as the beginning or the gateway through which a person comes into relationship with him. It's amazing how God works, and many of you know that because you've experienced it. Number 8, imitate the faith of people like Abraham. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote about this in the New Testament, and he says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Abraham didn't know how much God would use his faith and his service to God to multiply God's blessings to the nations. And I guess the question is, too, will we allow God to use our faith to help reach people through our serving, through our giving, and through our loving acts? Imitate the faith of people like Abraham. And then the last one is God uses the faithful few to accomplish much. Don't worry about it being just little old you, or just a small number of people doing some work. Remember the story, there's a story in the Old Testament about Gideon. God can use faithful few to accomplish much. Back in the Old Testament, the story of Gideon, and Gideon led the army of Israel to actually defeat a group called the Midianites. And they'd invaded Israel with an army of 135,000. And when God called Gideon, what he called him to was to come up against this army, and he didn't pat Gideon on the back and say, "Now, Gideon, you can do this. You must believe in yourself. You can do this." No, in fact, God told Gideon to cut back his army from 32,000, which was already ridiculous going against 135. He told him to cut back his army from 32,000 to just 300. Clearly sounds like a suicide mission against 135,000. But Gideon, I don't know how he did it, but Gideon was forced to trust God. If he'd had any self-confidence, it changed there to God confidence. It would seem then from some of these things that you can't be too small for God to use. Maybe you can be too big, but God can change that. Or maybe it's about being humble and completely leaning on God, as to being prideful and completely leaning on Him. Maybe it's about being humble and not being prideful. God often seems to work in powerful ways through our human weakness. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father." He's promised that as we believe in Him, as we trust Him, as we serve Him, that we can do the same things that He has done and even greater, because He is going to be with the Father, because of the strength that we receive through Him, through the Holy Spirit. So I guess this morning I'm saying don't wait until you think an act of kindness is significant before serving someone. No one is able to know if his or her actions will make a great or a small impact. Let me encourage you, let God use you in His ways, and realize He's the one who ultimately gives success. He's the one who ultimately gives results, and He's the one who ultimately gives blessings. Be faithful in little things, so that when the bigger things come along, you'll be faithful in them too. You might not think you're accomplishing a whole lot today, but like the farmer who plants seeds and waits to see the harvest, let God do the work that He does. And let's do and continue to do the things that we can do. Let's pray. God, I thank You for the examples that we read in Your Word. I thank You for Your Word itself. It's crazy, Lord, to think about what that says, that if we've done it to folks here, our acts of serving, if we've done it to, well, it says the least of these, my brothers and sisters, You've done it to me. And God, maybe that impacts how we look at serving. Maybe that impacts how we look at that little thing that we did. Maybe it's just a nod. Maybe it's a greeting. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a hug. Maybe it's a meal. Maybe it's, I don't know. The list goes on. But Father, there's so much we can do, not necessarily with a named position or a title that goes with it, but Father, there's so much that we can do together to serve You, to bless others, to further Your kingdom, to open the door perhaps for others to come in to know You. I don't mean necessarily come into the church, but come into a relationship with You. Father, just guide us in these things. Help us not to be discouraged, but when we are, I pray that we would just, our hearts would be turned immediately to You, that You would heal that hurt or that depression or that sadness, whatever it might be, Lord, and that we would not give up doing good, as Your Word calls us to do. And that we would honor and glorify You through that. In Jesus' name, amen.
For our closing song.